Welcome to All 32 Picks and IPAs. As we get into week 15 of the NFL season, there's not much time left in the regular season, guys. I'm Brandon Schultz, and joining me are the losers this week. We'll start off with my buddy Adam Emmert.
Oh, you mean the guy who's still in first place out of the three of us?
Hey, we're week to week on this.
Was that what you meant by loser? Because I was just checking.
I have to take in all the glory of a weekly win among the three of us wherever I can. And so I'm going to do it. And so that brings us next to Broncos fan Jared Tim.
That's right. Who is actually in second place, down only 30 points to Adam, which is like a week of striking distance.
Well, if possibly.
Feel pretty good
possibly.
About that.
I mean, you gotta get the 10. I got to not to get to the 10. We'll see.
Well, as a football fan, I feel pretty good that my team's not the one working out Steven Jackson.
I feel pretty good about the fact that it doesn't really matter who we play running back right now. It's going to be fine.
I wasn't talking about the Seahawks.
Oh, then I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay.
Patriots. The Patriots not. No. Did the Patriots work out Trent Richardson or was it Steven Jackson?
Steven Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, I hadn't heard that, so I was like, oh, okay.
Well, you know, a couple of us pay attention to the NFL to try and actually make our picks in an educated way, Adam. So
still in first.
All right, guys. Well, we're getting in, as I mentioned, to the week 15 of the NFL season. And we're also drinking a beer picked by Jared this week. Jared, tell us what we're drinking.
We are drinking the Deschutes Brewery Jubal Ale, a festive winter ale born in Bend, Oregon.
It is the season for winter ales, and so that's where we are. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. Anything else you want to hit on before we get going with this week's picks?
Let's see. I was trying to think. There was something I really wanted to talk about. Oh, yeah, I'm still in first.
So nothing important, no.
All right.
Nothing important.
No, not really. I just wanted to be a jerk. So let's say we jump right into the games, because the games are interesting in and of themselves this week, including this first one, which... It's interesting only because if you're having to pick and you look at these two teams, I mean, basically it's just what the catfish. Like that's the only thing you can think when you look at this. I mean, because the Buccaneers go out and lay a stinker, get beat by New Orleans. They take on the Rams on the road, Jared. I don't know. Were you as conflicted as me when you looked at this?
I was for a second until I kind of started to look at it as a matchup standpoint. You know, when you look at St. Louis's defense and the fact that they might be able to get Todd Gurley going in this game, I think they're going to keep it away from Tampa Bay and at home in a dome that's completely lifeless. I don't think road teams have an easy time playing in this dome because there's just nothing there. I remember playing a basketball game in a carpeted gym. And it was horrible. That's what the stadium is like. I think St. Louis, just on a matchup standpoint, because I think they're going to run the ball against Tampa Bay, are going to win this game at home.
Yeah, I'm with Jared on this one. I'm going Rams. I know I went last week with the Rams, and that's kind of what got me on the board because you guys picked against them. And I only picked with them because I thought they'd lose. So this week, though.
And that's how we got the most picks right last week out of the three of us.
And this is how Brandon's losing in picks.
I only picked them because I thought they'd lose, of course. Yeah, there, you heard it here, folks.
Sound strategy when it comes to the Rams for me. I know. Because, as you know, I dislike the Rams. But I do know that, well, I don't know, but I think very strongly that this is not a 10-loss team. I think it's a 9-loss team. And to get there, it's going to have to win a couple games. And to do that, they're going to get through the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like Jared said, Todd Gurley, you know, with a run game, I think that matches up well against the Buccaneers. I think the Rams still have the secondary to kind of keep Jameis Winston in check. I know they have the defensive line for it. And, yeah, picking St. Louis along with 43% of users.
Well, when I looked at this, I just thought about the idea that if the Buccaneers couldn't get it done against the New Orleans Saints defense, I have a hard time seeing them getting it done against the Rams defense. I mean, they're clearly a better unit all the way around. You know, the other thing is that defensively, the Buccaneers are actually pretty good against the run. So that was something that concerned me a little bit. But, you know, if there's ever one thing that kind of gives young quarterbacks fits, it's pressure and a good defense. I'm going to take the Rams in the lifeless dome.
It's kind of hard to pick against the best quarterback of this year's draft, though, but I'll manage. I'll get it done.
We'll talk about the exploits of the best quarterback from this draft last week here coming up. All right, let's move on, guys. New York Jets, 8-5. Playoff hopes on life support, Brandon, on the road against the putrid Cowboys, who, well, I think I summed it up right there. They're putrid.
That's just about all you can say about them at this point. But the New York Jets, I mean, on... Yeah, talking about them and their playoff chances on life support, I think they're playing. They have a schedule that sets up pretty well for them to get in. They just have to hope that the Steelers can go down or the Chiefs can go down. And I don't know what it works out to as far as if those three teams end in a three-way tie. So, you know, as much fun as I have with the playoff generator, that's one scenario I haven't quite worked out yet. But to me, this is an easy pick, even on Saturday night and the Jets on the road. I think they're going to beat this Cowboys team. You know, the Jets defense clearly better than the Cowboys. What do the Cowboys really have to play for? Castle, only one win, you know, in all his time with the Cowboys. Going Jets.
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah,
I'm going Jets.
What else are you going to do on Saturday?
Well, Brandon, some of us aren't married.
I mean, touche.
You know,
it's a true fact.
And also, screw Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
That's all my analysis for this.
Yeah.
I've thought about this precisely, what, 3 minutes now longer than I've ever wanted to. I'm going Jets on the road. Cowboys are putrid. The second reddest hottest team in the league, Jared, the Kansas City Chiefs. 8-5 on the road against the Baltimore Ravens, who we saw undressed last week, but they've been undressed almost every week this year. Do the Chiefs keep undressing the Ravens like a pervert?
No, the Ravens are going to do that themselves. They don't want to win any more games. They want a higher draft pick. That's all that's going on. Kansas City is not going to have a hard time, nor will anybody have a hard time with Baltimore the rest of this year. And Kansas City is going to play this same ball that they've been playing the last 5 or 6 weeks. It's very conservative. They're not taking a lot of chances, but they're getting things done, you know, 4 and 5 yards at a time. Kansas City on the road.
You know, I think you introduced this game wrong, Adam. This should be the Chiefs against Justin Raven and the Tuckers.
I think you're right. I screwed
there
that up.
Is.
I
yeah.
screwed
you
that up. You're
you
right. I'm
That's
sorry.
Who this is.
I'm sorry. I will do better.
But while
be
better. Justin Tucker is the best opera singer on the field among these two between these two teams, I think the Chiefs have the better football team. That's clear. Going Kansas City, and 90% of users with KC.
Oh, yeah. Well, count me among the 90%. You know, Chiefs are playing better overall. Alex Smith's pushing the ball down the field. They really have kind of turned that corner a little bit, and they've done it against some decent opponents along the way, too. It's not like every team that they've played has been a cupcake team. So, look, I'm taking the Chiefs here. Ravens are maybe even more putrid than the Cowboys. All right, that brings us to a game. I did find this game actually very interesting on the slate and found myself a little perplexed. I had a hard time kind of deciding on this one. Brandon, my beloved Buffalo Bills, 6-7, who I believe have been eliminated from playoff contention, going up against the Washington Redskins in Washington. Who do you got here?
Well, see, this was easy for me because I'm taking the same approach and strategy that I did last week and picking against all of the NFC East teams. last week, it didn't work out so well because they actually went 3-1, I think.
Sometimes Eli Manning.
Sometimes they win.
The world on fire.
Captain Kirk did, too.
Sometimes they win, which means this week they will lose. And it made the pick, made picking the Bills a little bit easier for me. But like I was conflicted on this one, too. If there's one NFC East team that I would pick this week, I think it would be Washington, but nope, I'm going Tyrod Taylor and 54% of users.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty much 50-50 coin flip game among users, but slightly leaning the Bills' direction, even though they're on the road.
Well, I'm actually picking two NFC East teams this week, and Washington is one of them, because every time I pick the Bills, they completely screw me. It's a battle of the 6-7 teams, and frankly, I don't think Buffalo has anything left to play for, because they haven't even played for Rex Ryan in how many weeks now? I mean, they don't even seem like they're behind him. And I just think Washington's playing with a lot more heart and a lot more fire. I think they're going to win this game, especially at home.
Yeah, I don't know that they've quit on Rex. completely.
I think it just burns everybody out.
I think the problem is a lack of discipline. There's just no this team has a gajillion penalties.
Which comes
this
year. From coaching.
Yeah.
Well, I know it comes from coaching. I'm just saying I don't think it's an effort to give up on the coach thing. I think the idea that they play sloppy, yeah, that's on
Rex. I think
they
had figured that out if they hadn't given up on Rex.
He didn't make him do enough
push-ups to get over that penalty issue. Remember when they did that? You heard about it 1 week, and then that was it.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's really the problem in Buffalo. But yeah, I think just Washington has more to play for in this game. They're at home, and they're actually a 1-point favorite when it's all said and done. Which, you know, really kind of makes them a 2-point dog because you always get a couple points for being at home. You know, they usually give you 3. So I guess Vegas is with the public on this, but I'm going with the NFC least. I'm going with the Redskins here.
Oh, interesting. I'm the only one taking the Bills on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you're losing
and
in
the
picks.
I've lost about every single week that I've picked against the Bills, too. So
well,
like,
Washington screws me, too. This is a bad game to pick for me.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are talking an awful lot of junk for being second place, second and third place behind me this week.
All right.
Funny thing is when I look up, you're still in my rearview mirror. Like, that's what, by like a lot. So there's that.
What is your score right now, Brandon, total? What's your total score?
I don't know. It's not important.
Yeah, it is. Because he just asked the question. Answer the question.
It's 14 something.
Did you order the code red?
You're doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm in the top half of the league. Like I said, I'm setting the middle point of the. I'm setting the median or the mean, whatever the. I don't know. It's been a while since I've taken statistics.
Oh yeah, one of those things starts with an M. So Brandon, we'll go to you again on this one here because it is your Houston Texans 6-7, playing with a shot for the playoffs here, winning the dreck that is the AFC South. If they can pull off a victory here against the Colts, I think that would go a long way for them to that. You saw the Colts just get shellacked last week. I think the Hasselbeck magic might be gone. He has a rib injury. They say he's going to play. So by how many are you choosing the Texans?
Well, see, this I was...
That assumes they have to score.
Look, there's a little bit of conflict going on in this game. One, I don't think Hasselbeck's going to start. I think Whitehurst is going to be the guy when it comes Sunday.
They say he's on track to start. That was what I read just about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, well, a beat-up Matt Hasselbeck against the Texans' defensive line and J.J. Watt, even with a big club on his hand, I don't like that matchup for Indy. But I really don't like it if I'm Indy and Charlie Whitehurst is in the game. The other thing, too, Hoyer is also doubtful. So T.J. Yates is going to be starting. We're going to have a bunch of game-time decisions on quarterbacks this week. The other thing I don't like is it's been 14 years since the Texans have won in Indy. That's
Peyton Manning years, yeah.
Yeah, the Peyton Manning years. But even there was one year in there where when the Indy went 2-14, one of their wins was at home against the Texans, and I think the Texans won the division that year.
Houston,
right. So for some reason, the Texans just can't seem to get a win in Indianapolis. But guys, the homer in me says they're due, so I'm picking Houston.
You know, I've seen Matt Hasselbeck play with a rib injury before.
Yeah.
And it's not good. Everything flows away from him. I remember there was this game that the Seahawks actually probably should have won the game if Hasselbeck was healthy, but he ended up throwing a couple interceptions, just couldn't get the ball downfield. So if he is playing, he's going to be like a 50% Matt Hasselbeck, and Charlie Whitehurst is even less than that. And with Hoyer possibly being out as well, this is going to be a really low-scoring game, but it's going to be one where I expect Houston's defense to score more than Indianapolis and Houston's offenses combined, which means they're going to win by the score of 12-6. Houston on the road.
You know, number one, everybody talks about J.J. Watt having that club and as if that's some sort of detraction. They just gave him a weapon. Like, that's all they did. They made J.J. Watt better. It's like, okay, he can go out there with a tool now. Like, that's even better for his deal. The other thing is I look at the Colts. They're in the bottom half of the league in almost every major statistical category, both offensively and defensively. In fact, in all but one are bottom 25 or worse. They're a bad team. Whereas the Texans, They actually play solid defense. So since they have one functional football unit and a club with J.J. Watt, I'm taking your Texans, Brandon, on the road against my boy, Matty Hass.
I know. I know it's tough to pick against him, but...
It's the first time I'm going against him since I said I wasn't going to, but I just can't do it now.
Can't do it anymore.
Especially if we don't even know he's playing.
Have you lost that love and feeling, Jared?
Yeah. Completely.
All right. Well, moving on to the next game.
What I should mention, too? We are in the majority, though. 59% going Houston. Only 42% with the Colts.
Yeah, they looked really bad last week. So moving on to the next game, where the best quarterback from this year's draft, who not only threw for nearly 300 yards, but also had a 40-yard touchdown reception last week. Super Mario can do it all. Marcus Mariota on the road to take on the Patriots. I think the only thing that he can't do is beat the Genghis in Foxborough, Jared. I have a feeling you agree.
There's actually a lot of things he can do, including beat pretty much 30 other teams in the National Football League.
He beat Jameis's.
I'm going New England. New England is without LeGarrette Blount. Who knows who they're going to play at running back, but it doesn't really matter because they're playing Tennessee. There's no talent on that team. Why even waste our time? It's New England at home.
Yeah, I think everybody, this is an easy pick. 98% going with the Patriots. The parents of the Titans weighing in at 2%.
No. That's all the Hawaii vote.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. Titans win this game, I'm not sad. Like, this is good for my deal no matter what at this point. So
the Titans aren't going to win this game. There's no chance.
Well, I don't think so either. But
well, and see, let me go back and let's talk about this. This is a good spot to talk about this, guys, because last week, you know, talking about hedging your bets, I did come on this show last week and say that I was going to pick the Texans over the Patriots. And the last minute, you know, when I found out that that Gronk was in the game, that, you know, J.J. Watt's playing a little bit wounded, I did switch my pick over to the Patriots. And it worked out pretty well. But it was because I was hedging my bet. And that I was going to be happy if the Texans won, and then I'd be happy with switching my pick if the Patriots won. So, you know, kudos to me.
Didn't work out very well for your integrity, though, I see.
Hey, just look up at me in the weekly standings this week.
And look down on you in the rest of the year. That's fair.
After I adjust your negative 30 for all the weeks that you picked against the Seahawks and they lost,
we might be tied.
Yeah, it'd be pretty close.
It's going to be close.
All right. I want you guys to step in the Wayback Machine with me here for just a few minutes. The year. I just paint the picture in your mind. The year is 1998. A 13-0 team with an MVP favorite head into the Meadowlands in New Jersey.
I remember this game.
Against a sub-500 Giants team. It was the Denver Broncos with Terrell Davis having his best year of his career. And it's a 1 p.m. kickoff. There was no wind, light rain, or no rain, little light wind. It was fine. The score on that day, Giants 20, Broncos 16. So let's fast forward to today, Jared, with the New York Football Giants. And the reason why you just said you were going to take them in week 15 is because you felt the history of when the Broncos went down and their undefeated dream died. And so we have the New York Football Giants hosting the Carolina Panthers, Jared. And you have been on record saying you're taking the G-men in this game.
Oh, yeah. So, Brandon, speaking of integrity, I am going with the Giants here, and I'm not going to switch my pick. Second of all, there was not a single Broncos fan that was upset about losing that game against the Giants because we knew we had to lose a game before we went into the playoffs, and it worked out perfectly. So this means what's going to happen is Eli Manning was 27 of 31, 337 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He played flawless last week. Yeah. Granted, it wasn't the best defense that he played, but he played great. Eli Manning's got one more of those games, and it happens this week. But what this means is that if the Giants do win this game, as I predicted weeks ago, that means Carolina is going to win the Super Bowl. Go Giants!
All right, Brandon, what say you on this?
Wow, I'm just kind of a little bit in shock by that suggestion that the Panthers are going to win the Super Bowl based off of Denver's performance. But, you know, we talk about integrity, Jared, and And you can have your integrity when you're looking up at me in the standings next week when we're on the show, because I'm picking the Panthers, the 13-0 Panthers. They're going to go all the way. And we can talk about the next couple of weeks, but 79%. So there is a fifth of users going with the Giants in the upset this week. Interesting.
Well, they're the number one market in all of America. So there's going to be a lot of people that pick their own team there. But look, I mean, Eli went, what, 24 or 31 for
27 to 31.
Sure, with four
completions
for a crap ton of yards and in four touchdowns. If there's one thing that I know that in Eli Manning's, he definitely has another one of those games in him, but it certainly won't come back to back. That never happens with this team. They're really inconsistent.
Yeah, he's done it for several games in a row. They're called the playoffs and the Super Bowls.
Yeah,
he's definitely done it.
Yeah,
more than once.
Unfortunately, this is the regular season. And plus, I just think Josh Norman is a darn good corner. I think he'll be able to keep Odell Beckham, you know, within reason. I mean, he's still going to get his.
I don't know. I bet Beckham has his seventh 100 yard receiving game in a row.
Oh yeah, he'll go over 100, but he won't go over, I don't know, 130.
He'll go for a victory is what he's going to do.
We'll see. All right. So I'm obviously taking the Panthers as well here. All right. NFC Norski game here. Brandon, or as you'd like to
NFC Central.
To
I'll correct
NFC
you on that
Central.
One.
NFC Central. Yeah. The 5-8 Chicago Bears. Pretty much Robbie Gould ended their season the last couple weeks with some horrific missed kicks in big situations, taking on the Minnesota Vikings at home, who we saw put up a feisty fight against the Cardinals last week.
They did. They down on the near the goal line, within field goal range, Teddy Bridgewater gets strip sacked by Dwight Freeney to end the game. What was that, Jared?
Sorry, Bridgewater sucks.
Uh-huh. Okay. But I'm now you threw me all off my game, Jared. Jeez.
Concentrate, man.
When it comes down to this game, you mentioned Gold missing field goals. When you have a kicker that's just not reliable and you're going on the road to Minnesota into hostile territory and kicking outdoors there, I know Chicago kicks outdoors too, but if you can't make them in your home field, you're certainly not going to make them when you're on the road. And I got to go Vikings on this one. They're just they have more to fight for at this point. And I don't think John Fox has it in him to get this team up just to try and upset a division opponent. But, I've been wrong before.
Yes, you have. But I'm going to agree with you on this one, Brandon. Now, didn't Chicago beat Minnesota in their first matchup? I thought
that
I remember
sounds
that.
Correct.
That was in exactly that would have been sure. In Chicago.
Right. But this seems like one of those games where AP is just going to have an incredible game, because Chicago's run D is not very good at all. I mean, they haven't been all that impressive. I don't know what their numbers are, but I've seen them play several times and they weren't impressive to me. This is a Minnesota game in cold weather on the ground at home. Go Minnesota.
Minnesota won in Chicago 23-20 November 1st.
Gotcha.
So I guess that didn't sound right.
It was close, though. It was a three-point game.
Yeah,
Robbie Gould probably missed a field goal in that game, too.
Bastard. This seems fairly easy. I like the way the Vikings played against the Cardinals last week. They showed some fight, and they showed that they're a better team than what showed up when Seattle played them up in Minnesota. Do you agree or disagree with them throwing that ball at the end of that game, Jared, Bridgewater and the Vikings? Or would you have just kicked the field goal? Or is that just one that you say, hey, they made a decision, it just didn't work out, and I'm fine with it?
You could kind of go either way. I don't really disagree with it too much, to be honest with you. I mean, I've seen worse play calls by coaches, that's for sure. I didn't think this was one of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just saw Zimmer get panned on this, so I'm just curious how everybody had felt about it. I mean, I think we talked about it a little, Brandon, but
yeah, I think when it comes down to the end of the game and you have a decision that's just it has such a big impact on the end of the game, people get emotional, and I know my emotional reaction at the point too was, why not just kick the field goal? But when you think about it, and you think about how Bridgewater's been in the fourth quarter, and you trusting a quarterback to at least get rid of the ball. I mean, the fact is that Bridgewater needed to get rid of that ball more quickly. And that's not a coaching, you know, that's not something the coach necessarily has a say in at that particular moment. But it's just something a quarterback has to know. Young guy. And Bridgewater's going to get better for it. And I don't disagree with the decision.
Well, Bridgewater didn't get beat with the spin move by an aging Dwight Freeney either. You know, like that wasn't on him. And he was in his windup. He was ready to deliver the ball, and he was going towards the sidelines. He was making all the right decisions. I can't really kill him.
Well, the thing I liked about it most, actually, when I really thought about it, is every Minnesota fan is going to have an emotional reaction to this and blame the coach. But I, having a young quarterback right now on our team, I like our coach having the faith to put it in his hands and see what he can do. Yeah. I mean, that's only going to benefit Bridgewater going forward, I think.
And Teddy has a really high rating in the fourth quarter this year. He's one of the top five quarterbacks in that regard. So, I mean, if you're going to trust a guy and build in confidence in him and that sort of thing, I liked it. I thought it was fine. I mean, it didn't work out, and that's a bummer for them, but I was fine with it.
User consensus for this game, 90% with the Vikings, only 10% with Chicago.
All right, guys, on to the game. This was maybe one of the toughest games for me this week. I don't know what to make of it, Jared. The abysmal 6-7 Atlanta Falcons, after their torrid start, they are what they are now. But the real question mark is who the heck is this Jaguars team? They are the most schizophrenic team.
They're 51 points is who they are.
Yeah, last week. You know, like that's where it came down for me, guys. Like I had the hardest time trying to figure this one out. And I'm picking the Falcons only because the Jaguars had a great game last week. Like, that's it. Like, that's the only reason.
This is how I made my decision on this game. I was like, okay, look at how much Atlanta lost to Carolina by, and then look at how much Jacksonville won by. Based on those gigantic lopsided numbers, I'm going Jacksonville.
Okay.
At home.
Yeah.
And Bortles is better than Matt Ryan at this point.
Oh, well, I agree.
Take it to the bank.
Some weeks.
No, Matt Ryan's bad every week.
Yeah, that's true.
He's bad now.
The battle of the two former Seahawks defensive coordinators.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I missed that, yeah.
I don't know how you missed it either, but I caught it for you. I got your back, dude.
Thank you, dude.
For me, I also had a difficult time. I did pick the Jaguars to win against the Colts last week. That worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
To me, when I look at the Falcons and I think that they have to win here somewhere going down the stretch. And to me, this just seems like the game that they have the best chance to win. And that's why I picked the Falcons. You know, they'll finish 7-9. This will be their last win of the season, and it'll be against the Jaguars. You know, maybe the Jaguars can find a way to get a couple more wins too. But I'm going Falcons.
Can we ask the question now at this point, is Matt Ryan going to be the Atlanta Falcons quarterback next year?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question.
I think you got to fire the coordinator and the offensive coordinator. You know, we talked about him last week.
Yeah, well, sure.
But Matt Ryan makes a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah.
And he has no excuse. I'm sorry, he just has no excuse. I mean, sure, blame Kyle Shanahan to a degree, but there's just too much talent around him for them to look this
bad. He's always had a lot of guys
to
throw to.
Yep. And has always gotten a lot of credit for being a top-tier quarterback when I've never believed in Matt Ryan, and this looks like the Matt Ryan that I always felt like would finally show up. I think the confidence level is gone. And kind of like when Matt Schaub was finally just done, I feel like a different Matt is having the same sort of situation here. I think the wheels have fallen off permanently on this.
Who would you rather have between Matt Ryan and Jay Cutler?
Cutler.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because he's a chucker, man, and it's exciting at least.
And not only that, but look at Cutler's play this year. He really has played pretty well on a talentless team. I mean, really.
He has Alshon Jeffrey.
Some days.
One. Yeah. Who else you got?
I mean,
the rest of the Broncos backups, including Mitch Unrein.
Yeah. There's nothing there. I mean, Julio Jones, Roddy White. I mean, that whole receiving core.
And he had Tony Gonzalez for a while. And
yeah,
he still was kind of mediocre.
I'm sorry. I would definitely take the Chuckler. I would.
Interesting. Okay.
But you would. You go with Matty Ice, huh?
I think Cutler's closer to being done than Matty Ice. I think Matt Ryan could bounce back.
Well, and here's the problem for the Falcons, right? Like, with their record the way that it is, I mean, even if they lose out, they still were a 6-win team. They're a middle of the pack draft pick. And you look at these quarterbacks that are coming out of this draft, and none of them seem to be, you know, at first blush, that first, you know, first round pick that you look at and go, yeah, that's a guy that you could build a franchise around. So I don't know that they're going to have a lot of other options, because it's not like you're going to find a franchise quarterback in free agency.
Yeah,
or
Ryan's
under
contract for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple more years or something like that. I can't exactly remember, but
yeah,
it's too long.
At least another year. So I don't know. It sounds like maybe they'll fire the GM first. I mean, there's been a lot of heat regarding him lately. But, you know, I don't know. I just – Matt Ryan just isn't going to be the guy that gets you there. There's always – that tier of quarterbacks, every generation, that are the Jim Everetts of the world, right? Like,
right. Good enough to start for a long, long time.
But that's about it.
Yep. But they're never going to take you anywhere. And that's Matt Ryan to me. He's Jim Everett to me.
Matt Ryan is under contract through 2018, so he'll be a free agent in 2019.
Ouch. He'll be a free agent before that.
Yeah.
He'll be cut at some point here. All right, guys, another interesting game. Green Bay Packers, Brandon, on the road against the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, this one to me is really interesting, because I think a lot of people's automatic reaction is to pick Green Bay in this game just by sheer fact that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, right? But we saw the Oakland Raiders get the job done this last week, and based on defense alone. And I'm not sold that the Packers' offensive line is any better than the Broncos' offensive line. I think this Packers team could have another challenge. You know, with Khalil Mack going 5 sacks this last game, kind of having his big breakout game of the year, and I'm liking the Raiders enough to for their defense to hold the Packers, and because their receivers, they if they can hang on to the ball, then they could have a shot at beating the Raiders. But otherwise, I think the Raiders have a shot to take this game. So picking the home team, and I'm not going to give you user consensus just yet. I don't want to sway your view on that, but I'm going Raiders.
You know, when I first looked at this game, I keep thinking of this Raiders team as they were a couple weeks ago. You know, when they were actually kind of playing pretty well, they had these young up-and-coming guys, and they were doing all right. Mm-hmm. But then, Brandon, it doesn't sound like you actually watched the Broncos-Oakland game last week.
I listened to it on the radio from point to point. I mean, it was a field goal fest, right?
No, it was the Broncos doing everything in their power to lose that game. Oakland didn't have positive yards until the third quarter.
Yeah, it was turnovers where they got their points early on, right?
Yeah, and we gave them really good field position, and then they had a strip sack, safety, and we made every mistake in that game. So this Raiders team has declined the last couple of weeks.
The thing is, Jared, the Raiders were going up against the number one defense in the NFL, and the Packers are not the number one defense in the NFL.
Right, but you got to remember, Oakland didn't do anything against this defense. They still didn't do anything against the number one defense, and I don't think they're going to do too much against the Packers. The problem in this matchup that I see is that Oakland's defense really is that bad. We moved the ball quite a bit. We just couldn't score. We made stupid mistakes, and I think with the Packers being able to run the ball last week, I think that'll translate a little here, and I don't think they're going to struggle with Oakland, because over the last couple weeks, granted, they beat us last week. It was our own fault, and they have gotten progressively worse in the last few weeks, so I'm going Packers on the road.
You know, Brandon, I enjoyed what you said about at first blush. It looked obvious. I mean, you're just like, well, Aaron Rodgers, of course. You know? Mm-hmm. But, you're right about the Raiders not playing quite as consistently as they did earlier in the year. But I also don't pin all of that on the Raiders just based off their performance against Denver. I don't think their offense is that abysmal. I don't think
it speaks to how good our defense played last week, even with our backups.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't trying to throw a compliment Denver's way there. But the idea is that...
Well, you can't not, though.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, they played well, and I'm not sure that that's a reflection on the Raiders' offense. Now, just like you said, Brandon, the Packers aren't the Broncos' defense on any way, shape, or form. I think Latavius Murray has an excellent chance to put together a big game against Green Bay. They're not great against the run. And I think Derek Carr has just enough to outduel a mediocre Aaron Rodgers, which is what we're getting right now because of their offensive line. It is abysmal. And you saw Khalil Mack take advantage of a bunch of backups last week. He'll do the same thing this week. I'm taking the Raiders at home. I don't feel awesome about it, though. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, no, this is, and for me, this was purely looking at the user consensus and seeing where I might be able to make up ground late in the season. And to me, this just seemed like one of those ones where it could come down to a field goal. I know Janikowski's missed. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's missing field goals. But yes, the Raiders only 15%, 85% going with the Packers.
Yeah, yeah, that's about right.
Well, there's always that two games a week, right, where you go, oh, they won? Wow. Right. Okay.
But you can kind of see it in the. Yeah. You can kind of see it.
But still, you're surprised when it happens to a degree.
Yeah.
That the Falcons and the Raiders were those two games for me this week. I was like, yeah, where you look at it and you go, oh, right, of course that team won that game. Mm-hmm. You know, just a screw.
Well, it's interesting to see how these young players for the Raiders actually rebound, because Amari Cooper didn't have a single catch last week. And Derek Carr really had a tough game. He was 12 of 29, like 135 yards.
Yeah.
Their offense didn't do a thing. So it'll be interesting for this young team to see if they can rebound. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah. No, it will be.
You know, how battle-hardened are they after just kind of getting it handed to them last week? See what they can do against another competitive team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's part of the learning curve for that young team.
Yeah, definitely.
Know? And so, yeah, I think it'll be good to see their level of fight.
And I don't feel good about picking Green Bay. It's
no,
just,
probably not. Yeah.
I mean, I just when I looked at the game, I was like, I just think Green Bay is a better team at this point. And we'll see if they can run the ball 2 weeks in a row. That's
if this was in Green Bay, I'd pick Green Bay, no doubt.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I don't know if Green Bay is going to be able to run the ball 2 weeks in a row, because they really haven't been running that well.
No, they haven't.
And
done
they busted
it all year.
A couple of big ones last week, so I will see how it works out.
Okay. All right, Jared, Cleveland Browns on the road against the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm glad you said that, Jared. Yeah, the Cleveland Browns defense. Let's just run down the Cleveland Browns defense this year.
Everybody's run down the Cleveland Browns defense this year.
Number 30 in points allowed, 27.5. 26th in yards allowed, 23rd in pass yards allowed, and 29th, the third worst in rushing yards allowed. And even though the Seahawks backfield is going to be Kristen Michael, Derek Coleman, and the guy they just picked up, Bryce Brown?
Brown.
Yeah. Yep. See, I don't have his name figured out yet. But I think they'll have enough to run the ball against this Browns team. Russell Wilson, lighten it up.
Yeah, they won't need the run game. I mean, Russell Wilson is probably, like I said, he hasn't stopped throwing touchdown passes, you know, since the last game.
Yeah. No, I think when we did the podcast earlier today, I think he's thrown six more. So
yeah, exactly. All right, guys, let's talk a little about the beer. And as Jared starts to do that, I'm going to grab us each a freshie here.
All right. Well, I don't. It doesn't really have a description on it, but I can read a couple of things. So this is, once again, the Deschutes Brewing Company Jubilee Ale. It's a festive winter ale, seasonally, obviously. It was born in Bend, Oregon. And a couple of the things. This brewery is family and employee-owned since 1988. And the profile says it is chicory, dried fruit, and toffee notes, a robust ale with a warming spice. The IBUs are 65, and the alcohol per volume is 6.7%. Brandon, what do you think?
Well, it's interesting. This scored really high on the Beer Advocate scale, 89 from the average users on Beer Advocate. And then, you know, the bros, if you go by the bros score, it's 97. So
the what score?
The bros.
Okay.
This is on Beer Advocate. I don't know what the bros score is all about, but I don't know if you have to be, you know, like a paid user to be a bro or what the heck's going on with that site. But, you know, I like to look at the scores and see what other people think. For me, this isn't, it's not quite my deal. I like that it's not as nutty as some of the other ones that you kind of you kind of get that malty
caramel,
you know, spicy
ness
to it. But I'm okay with it. I can drink it. And 6.7.
This has always been one of my favorite winter beers, actually.
Jared, did you read the little profile part?
I did.
Okay, yeah. So but the toffee notes, you definitely. You taste the toffee.
This is a little less sweet than some of the other ones.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say. And it really, for that, I can drink it. I'm not a big dark beer guy.
Yeah.
It is highly drinkable. I will definitely say that as far as some of these ones. Because like you kind of mentioned, Brandon, you know, they get too much in with the spice aspect of it, you know, with some of those, you know, like nutmeg and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And that just gets, I want beer. You know, I don't want
well,
to drink
I want
a pie.
Nutmeg.
I well then
I want
eat a pie.
Thanksgiving in a bottle.
Eat it. Well then you should try a different beer.
I'll but, try all the beers. That's why we do this.
That's exactly right. So yeah, the Jubilee Ale by Deschutes. It is indeed festive and wintry and ale-y.
It's a warmer. It's a meal in a bottle.
It is a meal in a bottle. Yeah,
yeah, I could take that. It's drinkable though. I do. It's a good choice for a nice winter ale.
And under the bottle cap, it says that it's worth sharing. So, just so you know.
All right.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, tis the season.
Because sharing is caring.
Is it?
No.
I'm not going to share my points with Brandon so that he can catch up.
No.
Because I don't
care. No, those are mine. all right. This is a big storyline. The Andy Dalton-less Cincinnati Bengals, him and his broken thumb, reports saying 4 to 6 weeks for this guy being out, Andy Dalton. Take on Blaine Gabbert and the 49ers. It's a backup fest. You have to be taking AJ McCarron and his hottie hot wife, right? Is that what you're doing here?
Well, here's the thing, Adam. A former Alabama player in the NFL has not won an NFL game in 28 years.
As a quarterback?
Wow. As a quarterback.
Okay.
Alabama quarterback.
That's crazy.
Because I almost would have believed that just based off Trent Richardson's career. If you would.
No, an Alabama quarterback has not won an NFL start in 28 years. So we were alive, but there's probably several people listening to this show.
Roll Tide!
Yeah. How embarrassing is that for an SEC team? You can go down the list of all SEC schools and find a quarterback, a pretty successful quarterback, going back the last 20 years coming off each one of those other teams. But Alabama, for whatever reason, can't produce a solid NFL quarterback. You know, maybe this is AJ McCarron's time, but this is his first game back. And to go on the road, I know it's in Santa Clara, but I just don't like the fact that it's a rookie quarterback starting on the road. And even though it is the 49ers defense, the 49ers team that lost in Cleveland, I think I'm going to pick the 49ers on this one, guys.
So, Jared, you're going with Catherine's Bengals in the webs?
No.
Not Catherine Webb, huh?
I frankly, I don't know who this chick is, and I really don't care.
Brent Musburger does.
you know, when I look at this game, when I originally saw it, I was like, man, this looks like upset fever on the West Coast. To me, I mean, Cincinnati's going to have to travel a long ways. They don't really know what to do without Andy Dalton because they haven't had to do it in years. And Blaine Gabbert's got this team kind of rolling. And so they came out with a stinker last weekend against Cleveland. They're back home to rebound. This was the game that so far I have left blank. I have not filled out this one because I really feel like San Francisco's got a good shot in this game, but it goes against everything that you would think that you want to pick. So I am going San Francisco at home.
Hey, Jared, I've got a fever. But it's not for more cowbell. It's for West Coast upset fever. That's what I've got a fever for. I'm taking the Niners as well. I just feel like with Andy Dalton going down last week, that's one of those injuries that takes the life out of a team, especially one that understands that they're making the playoffs one way or the other. They know they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, they're
They know they're not getting a one seed at this point. They know they're probably not even getting a two seed at this point. And the Bengals are not a mentally tough team. I think this is the type of game that they come out and just put down an absolute clunker. I'm taking the Niners at home.
Wow, two weeks, guys. We've gone back to back where all of us have picked against the Bengals.
And thought we were going to be ahead of the other person.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. No, I thought I'd pick one up on you guys here, you know, going with the upset. But we are among the 13% guys going with the upset.
Wow.
87% with the Bengals still.
God, you know, since you guys are both going with San Fran, I might just have to switch to Cincinnati.
Nice integrity.
Well, just because you guys are going, this is a chance to pick one up on you and then extend my lead over you. I'll have to think about this one.
See, that's why I'm in the lead. I don't worry about what you all are doing. I just make all the right picks. All right. Stupid Finns. Although the Stupid Finns lost last week to keep Jared from overtaking me, Thank God for that Monday night game and a big Eli Manning performance. That was an Eli day. Like, I just rolled with a random Eli
day.
He's
going to have another one.
Yeah, maybe. But Dolphins on the road against the Chargers, Jared. Look, there's not a lot to say.
Not going
to
watch it. Miami on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a hard time just because trying to figure out.
Is there anything compelling?
What's a home game for Miami?
Yeah, right.
Really? Well, kind of. I mean, are any fans necessarily going to show up to watch their team that just, you know, missed out on the playoffs for another year with high expectations? I don't know. Maybe. But nobody's showing up for the Chargers. Maybe the stadium will be as empty as the Edward Jones Dome. I don't know. But the Dolphins have played well on the road this year. So, and then the Chargers haven't played well at home or on the road. So that's what made me pick Miami.
I like it. I like it. I'm going Miami as well, but it feels dirty on the inside.
70% with the Dolphins, 30% with the Chargers.
All right, Brandon, let's talk winners from this last week, because I want to talk about your week this last week, Brandon.
Yeah, you don't get a lot.
I want to give you some affirmation, some warm fuzzies. How was your week last week among the three of us, Brandon? I don't know if we caught on yet. Was it good?
I can't remember if I mentioned it or not, but I did finish quite close to the top. I know I surpassed you two.
Oh, wow.
There were three people in our Pick'em League that finished ahead of me, and that was Jay Glover, 360, all alone with 170 points. Baron Von Meskel at 160, along with Maximus Rex, 1971. And then there was a slew of us at 150, including one of my favorite usernames, Mr. Poopotamus. We're at 150. So, yes, yeah. Jay Glover, 360. Email us at picksandipas@gmail.com, and we will send you your prize.
Yeah, the overall leader for after this week, right? It seems like they're up there just out of obligation. Like, I don't know that they're really even that excited to be doing these picks, just based off the name.
Yeah, yeah, like I just pick so I don't get fined.
Yeah.
Well, then stop picking, take the fine, and let somebody else win.
Tied with Wally's winners, 17-30, so we have a tie atop the leaderboard right now. Bald Eagles and Beer made a little bit of a resurgence at 17-20, only 10 points out of the lead.
Ooh.
And Complete Catfish at number 4, T.O. and 16 at number 5, so...
It's been
there you
interesting
go. There's
following
your top
the standings
five.
Over like the last 5 weeks to see how they are. They're all a little bit ahead of us right now. But
yeah,
I mean,
they're all jockeying for position up there.
I'm in 20th. I'm in 20th.
I'm in 29th.
That's striking distance. Top 20? Yeah.
And if we look at the Seahawkers podcast, Patron League, among the 20 or so of us. Hey, look at me. I finished atop the leaderboard in that league with 150.
Let him do this. Sorry, continue, Brandon. This is great.
I just, I tell you, I got to take advantage of it when I can.
Yeah, man, feel good. Feel good. It's your day in the sun.
It'll be my 1 week. then we have the Lost Alaskan overall 1680. So, no prizes for all the rest of you losers at 140. You all tied. So, no prizes this week for the group. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. You're a mean one.
Just cutthroat,
Mr.
Grinch.
I'm going to lay it on everybody.
Your heart just shrunk 10 sizes.
It is. Yeah. Are you mad at all of Whoville?
Jeez, man.
All right.
Who's going to be little Cindy Lou and come knock on my door after that, huh?
I don't know. You got three little girls. So.
Adam
will. No, I don't. I don't have the voice for it. Maybe the physique, but not the voice. All right. I'm going to go with the Monday night game next here just so we can get it out of the way and save a couple decent games for last. Detroit Lions on the road against New Orleans Saints. Brandon, I mean, take your pick between just schizophrenic dumpster fire teams. Who knows, man? I didn't have enough coins to flip.
Yeah, well, to me, it came down to picking and deciding whether or not how bad the Saints defense was going to be. We saw Kirk Cousins light up the Saints defense. That was on the road in Washington. At home for Kirk Cousins. But, the Saints back at home. Matt Stafford coming in. I kind of like him to throw it all over the Saints defense. And everybody else has. So why not Matt Stafford going on the road and picking up another win for Detroit Lions? Going Detroit.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you said, but I think that Drew Brees is going to have a pretty good day against this Lions defense as well. And being at home, I mean, the dome factor, it doesn't even factor in because they're both dome teams. This one, I had no idea who to pick, so I went New Orleans based on the fact that they're the home team.
So I looked it up, and unfortunately, the scoreboard only has two digits for each side of the score.
this can't be this can't be a 110 like a NBA. You think they'll mount an NBA scoreboard?
Yeah, I think they're gonna need to go on down to the Pelicans stadium and grab their scoreboard for a little while,
just for this game,
and give it a borrow. Man, I initially had picked Saints. But I can't wait to bury Jared even further. So I'm going with the Lions and Megatron.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I am. I
do it.
I know. So here's my two conflicting thoughts. Number one is...
Just two, huh?
Well, on this game. All my thoughts are conflicting on the rest of life. But the idea is that Lions receiving core is so much better than the Saints secondary that it's ungodly. Yeah. But the problem is that... Drew Brees is that much better than Matt Stafford. And the Lions secondary isn't all that good. So it's like, do I pick Lions receivers or Drew Brees? And I think I'm going with Lions receivers and just enough Matt Stafford, just enough to break your heart for the Saints.
What do you guys think the score of this game is going to be?
Legitimately?
Yeah.
The over-under's got to be 80.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say I would definitely take the over there. I want to say it's going to be like... 45, 42.
I was going to say in the like low that. 40s. It's going to be like within a field goal, low 40s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll pick the under and just go like 39, 38 or something.
Yeah, right. But, right. Golly.
Yeah. The surprising thing, user consensus on this, strongly with the Saints, 76%, only 24 with the Lions.
Mm. Who dat? All right. Or is it who dem? I don't know what that
is. Who day is the Bengals and who dat is the Saints, right?
Yeah. How about they use like real English after who for both their little sayings? That'd be cool.
Who cares?
That's probably more relevant for both those franchises.
Well, it's a real word.
Yeah. I like it. Caring is sharing, remember. Cardinals on the road against the Eagles, Brandon. Eagles not giving up this year. Not giving up. And... you know what? For Chip Kelly, who's been embattled all year, the fact that the Eagles have shown some fight coming down the stretch, I think is indicative of his coaching and what he's getting done there. Now, we'll see if DeMarco Murray is a Cowboy before this season's over. It sounds like he's itching to get back there, been flying on the plane with the team president or the team owner and having some deep heart-to-hearts and that sort of thing. But I don't know that matters much going against the Cardinals, even if the Cardinals did struggle a bit against the Vikings last week.
I mean, at least it gives me something to hope for, that the Eagles might be able to, you know, pull one out against the Cardinals in the same way they did the Patriots. But I'm not going to count on that. I'm not going to pick the Eagles based on my hopes and dreams. So I'm going Cardinals based on the facts. And another one where I hedge my bet, and I'll just be happy if the Eagles win and be satisfied if the Cardinals win and give me another pick in the standings. But, there's no way that I pick the inferior team in this matchup. Cardinals clearly better, and even on the road against the Eagles.
You know, this is one of those games, like you said, the Eagles have had a lot of fight kind of coming down the stretch. And granted, their win against New England was a little bit fluky, but they still had to put themselves in position to be able to win that game, mm-hmm. which was actually mm-hmm. fairly impressive. And they haven't given up on Chip Kelly. I mean, it's pretty obvious. And the thing about an Arizona team that you worry this late in the season with injuries, players being banged up, having a long road trip.
A trap game, Jared?
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to use trap game because I don't believe in those. But what I'm saying is just from a matchup standpoint, having to travel a long ways when you're a little bit banged up, these games get harder. When you think that they'd be easier to pick, they get a little bit tougher because the team's even out on a physical level. But I still don't think that's going to be enough for Chip Kelly to beat Arizona. I still think Arizona's a pretty good team all in all.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more about the notion that it gets harder, especially for old teams as you go down the stretch. And the Cardinals are an old team. A lot of their star players are older. This is actually a tougher pick for me than at first glance, but I am going Cardinals. But I wouldn't be shocked. Let's put it that way.
Like, yeah.
I give, if I were to put odds on it, I would say 60-40 Cardinals. Like, that's what,
yeah,
that's what I'm kind of feeling on this.
That's pretty fair. I wouldn't be stunned if the Eagles won this game either.
Yeah, it might go up to 70%, but yeah, I'm with you there too. It wouldn't shock me that the Eagles are able to pull one out at home, but to me, you know, you talk about receiving core against a team's secondary, and that Cardinals receiving core against the Eagles' secondary, I just don't think has much of a chance with Carson Palmer slinging the ball. And 88% user consensus going with the Cardinals, only 12% with the Eagles.
Mm. All right, guys, we left this game for last just because as we got down to the bottom of the slate, it was by far the most interesting of the later games.
It's the most interesting game on the schedule.
You think so? It was one of the top couple.
Well,
to me.
And for playoff positioning too, for the Steelers and for us.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, it really is. So the Denver Broncos coming off a loss, Jared, 10-3, go on the road to face the red hot Steelers.
Yeah,
and Big Ben 8-5 at Heinz Field, Three Rivers Field, Swampy Field, whatever the hell they call that place.
So the thing that worries me about the Steelers is obviously Ben Roethlisberger. Man, he's been airing it out all year long. A good matchup for us, though, is our secondary. I mean, we've shut down a lot of quarterbacks this year and made a lot of people struggle. And I don't think Ben's going to throw for a lot more than 300 yards in this game. But I think he does have the best trio of receivers in the NFL. So our corners are going to be taxed this entire game. And it all depends on if we get any one of our hurt safeties back. I'm hoping to God we get one of them back. But I think our offense did struggle to put points on the board. We got some field goals. We had some turnovers in the game. If we clean everything up, we'll be in a good position to win this game. The matchup that I'm looking most forward to is our defense against Big Ben and that offense. I have no clue what's going to happen, but the Steelers won't be able to run the ball on us. They might a little bit because we'll be playing so much for Big Ben. But from a matchup standpoint, if we can clean up all the things that we did last week, we looked like a really good team. That offense was pretty good despite our putrid offensive line play. Our receivers are good, had a couple of drop balls, but I think our defense matches up against the receivers of this Pittsburgh offense really well, and I like us in this game, actually. The more I think about it, I like us in this game, but this is going to be a tight one. This is a big test for Brock Osweiler, I think, and our defense especially.
I don't think it's going to be as close as you think, Jared. I think the Steelers' offense, if they manage to hold Big Ben under 400 yards, yeah, I think that's a win based off of how Ben's been playing. And I mean a win in terms of, you know, the defense did better than some of the other defenses that he's faced. Mm-hmm. He's completely on point, and that's not the side of the ball that I'm necessarily worried about, though, for Denver. You know, the Denver defense against the Pittsburgh offense, it's Brock Osweiler, the Wizard of Osweiler.
I like that one.
Yeah,
I like that one. Way to go with the other half of the name.
Yeah,
it's good.
Gil Brandt on Twitter tweeted out, since Osweiler took over the starting job, guys, in week 11, Denver has the NFL's most three and outs with 18. The Broncos haven't reached the end zone in their last 23 drives. So the fact that they're able to go 3-1, even with those particular stats, that's great. But with the number of points that Pittsburgh's offense, I mean, if they put up 21 points, I think it's going to be game over for the Broncos. I think they can at least hit that 21-point number with the receivers they have. It's tough to cover everybody. If there's one team, though, that can do it, it's the Broncos secondary. I think they have, you know, the most complete secondary from, you know. But it is, like Jared said, the safeties that could be a concern. So, to me, I'm picking Steelers on this one.
So, for me, this came down to injuries and the healthier team. Is really it. I mean, obviously we've talked about the safeties now a couple times. I think that's huge when you're talking about trying to stop Big Ben.
Yeah.
And I think that just makes that too tall of a task. Because the thing is that with Big Ben, even though the Broncos do get great pressure, Big Ben isn't fazed by pressure. He never has been and he never will be. And he's just too tough to bring down. And when you have to focus so hard on him as you do, they are always against every single team, no matter how stout they are against run, fairly effective running the ball. I think they'll get theirs there. And then just on the offensive side for the Broncos, just the offensive line just being as beat up as they are. I mean, it's amazing they function as well as they do. considering, is there even one guy that's playing his native position?
Yes. So coming into training camp, we had our five starters.
Yeah.
We have one guy left, but he was even hurt last week, and that was
right.
Luis Vasquez.
So there we go. And that's all I'm getting at. And so it's just that's kind of how this time of the year shakes out a lot of times is just healthier teams. And not that the Steelers have a great defense, but they do blitz a lot. And if you have an offensive line that is kind of just struggling just to kind of keep the ship afloat as they try to get some healthy bodies back, having the communication down to pass off on all those blitzes and change protections and all that, I think is just going to be tough, especially with an inexperienced guy with Brock running the show behind there. It'd be one thing if it were a Peyton Manning of last year who still had enough arm strength to actually take a defense apart, but then had the brain to be able to call out line protections and all of that. It just Brock is going to be just fine as a quarterback in this league, but I just think in Pittsburgh against this team, I just think it's just too tall of a task for him this week, even for the 6'7 kid from Kalispell.
Yeah, and I think we're all seeing the same things on a matchup standpoint as far as you know offense and defenses go, and that's basically why I said if we can clean up these mistakes, we can win this game. But you know, like those offensive line protections, you know, we fumbled the ball four times.
Yeah.
You know, we had two drop balls. One was on third down and one was on fourth down in the fourth quarter. We had a missed field goal. So if we can clean up these mistakes, I think we can win. But, I mean, if we continue to make these kinds of mistakes, we're in big trouble against a veteran team that has good leadership.
One good matchup to me to watch in this game, Demaryius Thomas, if he can catch the ball, if Pittsburgh decides to blitz Osweiler, and one thing I guess that's been pretty impressive about Osweiler so far is against the blitz, is where he's seeing some of his most success as far as yards per attempt go. And the way that Demaryius Thomas can catch and run, if he can get the ball out quickly to Demaryius Thomas, and Thomas can actually hold on to the ball, I think that poses a matchup issue for the Steelers. So the way that Pittsburgh blitzes, it makes me think that could be a place where the Broncos take advantage of him.
Yeah, and like you said, the drops with Demaryius Thomas, he typically every single season has two-game stretch where he will either fumble or drop balls or everything. He's done all of that these last two games. They got to be behind him.
Yeah, well, unfortunately...
You shut up. They are behind him.
Unfortunately, Vernon Davis hasn't gotten over his stretch over the last couple years.
I don't know. Yeah. He drops one ball. That's his first drop since playing with the Broncos.
That was a critical drop,
though. Also had seven catches for 74 yards.
He's also been with the Broncos for a cup of coffee so far. Like, it's not like he's been there for, you know, half
his career.
His
first four games were more productive than Jimmy Graham's for Seattle.
That's not saying much.
But you're harshing on him, yet you were really high on Jimmy Graham.
I was not really high on Jimmy Graham.
One drop ball.
Look, I'm just talking about the last few years that I've seen with Vernon Davis. He has a trouble catching
the ball. He had a pretty good game, I thought.
Well, I haven't watched this last one, so I don't know.
Obviously.
Well, no, obviously me. I haven't. Like,
I said it's pretty obvious.
Just because I have watched enough of Vernon Davis over the last couple of years, I promise you it's been more than you, and I can promise you he can't catch the ball very well.
No, he's horrible receiving tight end.
He's not great. He's not great.
Terrible receiving tight end.
He's not great. All right, so Brandon and I with the FU picks this week against
which I'm going to kill you guys this week on my picks. Huh. I'm going to kill it this week, except for maybe that Giants one.
Not feeling great about it, though.
He's going to come out there. He's going to win this game.
Oh, man. I can't wait to have about a 60-point lead going into the last 2 weeks of the season. I mean, that's basically coasting at that point, so it'll be good times. All right. So did anybody have any extra topics this week that they wanted to cover at all? Anything that had kind of popped up? You know, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I was just curious.
No.
I have one.
Okay.
Let's say, and I'm not saying this to be a
catfish,
but let's say the Broncos do drop this game. And let's say it's by two scores. I mean, nothing crazy, just two scores, you know? How does that affect what happens going forward for the Broncos with Brock and Peyton? We saw them lose last week, and boy, the pitchforks were already coming out against Brock.
I didn't see any of that, actually, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I saw a lot of stuff throughout the media where,
well,
you know,
who
people
are you listening to, though?
A variety of different sources.
It's been out there.
Because pretty much everything that I've said was, well, even though Brock Osweiler played incredibly well, the Broncos still couldn't overcome their mistakes. That was kind of the headline that I got.
Maybe from a lot of the Bronco media. I don't know. I'm saying from, you know, reading a lot of the national narrative, that wasn't exactly the narrative. And I don't think it's fair. I think Brock played just like you described it.
Yeah.
But, you know, going off the stats and listening to a little on the radio. But the idea is if they do lose this one, I mean, how much more momentum does that give Peyton Manning in the idea that he should be back in the offense, Brandon? I mean, do you have a sense of that at all? Or
I still think Osweiler gives this team the best chance to win. From what we've seen from Peyton Manning, he looks like he's done. I think people are just... I think it's something that the media can use to get people talking, because Peyton Manning is that type of quarterback that you think that, oh, well, if you get into the postseason, it's a question that I think draws a lot of reaction, right? And that's if the Broncos get into the postseason and Peyton Manning seems relatively healthy, does he give the team a better chance to win over Osweiler? And I think you could say maybe, but at the same time, I do think that this just, it has to be Brock's team going forward, because that's your guy for the future. Maybe the Broncos feel like they have another option. I don't think that's the case, though, Jared. After this year, they have to re-sign Brock, right, going into the offseason?
Yeah, especially with what we've seen in these four starts. I mean, he's looked really good, and he's even progressed. I actually think watching this Raiders game, this was his best performance. He continued to find the open receiver. His receivers dropped the ball. We didn't run the ball very effectively, but you can't really question a play calling, because what Kubiak saw was that Brock was hitting everything. I mean, he was seeing the field. I mean, he was 35 of 51 for 308 yards. That easily could have been 39 of 51 for over 350 yards had his receivers not dropped a couple of crucial passes. And so as you see his progression in this offense, Kubiak is doing more of what he wants to do. And if there's one thing that I know Kubiak doesn't care about, it's what the national media says about his quarterback situations. But at this point, after four games, it's glaring that Brock is better at this point than Peyton Manning. So I don't know. From what I've heard and from what I've read and from what the players are saying, it doesn't seem that it's Brock's job. It is Brock's job to lose, but he's not going to, because there's no way that Peyton's going to come in and outplay him. Yeah, he hasn't done anything to lose. He hasn't made the turnovers. He hasn't made bad decisions. He hasn't put his team up against the wall. It's basically been everything around him in this last game that kind of folded. But up until then, he's done everything that they've allowed him to do. Mm-hmm.
I have that question of whether or not maybe Peyton Manning could be better inside the red zone than the Broncos have been the last couple weeks.
Line problem. Like I told Adam, we just don't have the force to play power football inside the red zone. And that's our biggest problem. That's why we're not scoring. I mean, we had a couple opportunities, but when we were inside the five, we ended up having to pass the ball three different times because our offensive line, we couldn't run the ball and play smash mouth football. There were running lanes in the game, but not in the red zone.
So, yeah, Brandon, I mean, think back to the Seahawks earlier in this season when they were, what, like 28th in the league in red zone percentage? And then the offensive line gelled, and now suddenly they're like 4-for-4 in the red zone every single week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of how it is for Brock. I mean, you talked about the three and outs stats earlier. Again, I feel like that's offensive line. I just don't see Brock making bad decisions. I don't see him ever feel like the moment is too big for him. I just think that he is the future of that franchise, at least for the next couple of years. And, I mean, if you've already rolled with him, look, I understand the prestige that Peyton Manning has.
And almost the novelty of him at this point.
Right, right. And, I mean, the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy in town, especially if he's a surefire Hall of Famer, I'm sure. But I can't, for the confidence of that young quarterback going forward, I think you're all in now. I don't care if you lose every game going into the playoffs to this point. As long as it's not on him every single week, which it hasn't been at all. He's 3-1, and the one loss wasn't on him at all. Like, so I have a hard time thinking that it's time to sharpen the pitchforks and bring in Peyton Manning.
Well, and if he plays well in this game in his fifth start, if he plays well against the Steelers, a very high caliber team, mm-hmm. I think it's already at the point of no return. You just stick with him the rest of the year. I thought when Peyton went down, it was a no-brainer from then on out. But I think if he plays well against the Steelers, win or lose, it's too late to go away from him. What is your team going to think going into the playoffs when, frankly, you don't know what kind of Peyton Manning is going to... So Peyton Manning just started throwing last week. last week since November. Yeah. He just started throwing. So he's not going to be back for the Bengals game. Yeah. He may not even be back for the Week 17 matchup against San Diego. So then do you even play him in the playoffs? Probably not, because he's an aging guy who you don't know how healthy he's going to be. And his timing is going to be screwed up, because it has been since the beginning of the year, because he just can't get the ball there. So if we play Peyton Manning, it will baffle me to no end.
I got to say, Jared, I'm really disappointed in you, though. I'm really disappointed for bagging on the Patriots for bringing in Steven Jackson to work him out.
I'd bag on him for that, too.
And
he's been dead for 3 years.
And the Broncos brought in Trent Richardson to have him work out. The Broncos brought in Trent Richardson to see what he's still got at running back, Jared.
Whatever.
Well, I mean,
we need a scout team guy.
What? I mean,
who better to beat up on than Trent Richardson?
It doesn't hurt to bring in a guy for a look. I mean, you know, I mean, that doesn't hurt you anything, you know.
I'm just saying he bagged on the Patriots for bringing in Steven Jackson.
Why would you bring that up?
and yet,
it's a fun fact, Jared. It's a fun fact.
How fun is this?
Pretty fun.
It's pretty fun.
Pretty fun. Yeah. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Jared, did you see that they're going to change a little bit of the officiating stuff going into the playoffs?
No, I did not.
Dino Blandino is going to be able to have a little more communication with the referees throughout the games, but only starting in the playoffs. We're not going to try it out beforehand. We're just going to throw it to the fire in the playoffs.
Well, that's cool. I hope it goes well. I do.
Good Lord.
It's a mistake not at least trying it out. Their argument is that they're going to have all their time to focus in on one particular game. Well, if that's the case, try it out. Try it out in the primetime games. Try it out on Thursday night in a Rams game that really probably won't have any outcome in the playoffs. Yeah, Tampa Bay's still technically in it, but you know, try it out in this. Try it out on Saturday. You know, in those primetime matchups where it won't have an impact. See what happens. See if it lengthens the game. See if it helps. If it does indeed help as you expect it to, try it out.
Yeah, I agree. Thursday night, Saturday night. Why not? When that's the only game on, you might as well.
Right. Yeah. Don't try it in the playoffs when there are unintended consequences that you that you don't intend for.
Man, just the error of poor decisions from the league office just keep rolling down. Like, I don't know that I've ever witnessed a commissioner with this many just clusters after another, you know? I mean, just cluster catfishes. Just
it's arrogance. It's we have the best game in the league that ever in sports that everybody's going to watch, and we're going to jerk with it and see if and people will still continue to watch, and it won't matter. Just watch.
Yeah, I agree with the arrogance thing. I think you hit it on the head there. I did come up with one little fact that I thought was interesting. So Adam and I were talking on our way back from Idaho. I was like, I think the best game in the NFC in the playoffs, the game that I want to see more than any other game, is Seattle and Carolina. I think that's the best game. Those are the two best teams in the NFC. And so I was going through some of the defensive leaders, and in total defense, you guys are tied second and third for yards allowed, 307.8 on the dot.
Yep.
On the dot.
Yep.
I don't know. That just makes that matchup even more intriguing to me.
Well, and then you take into the factor the Russell Wilson-Cam Newton comparison that everybody's doing. And look, I mean, Cam's got him in a couple places. Russ has him in a lot of places, but Cam's got him in big places like touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like 13-0.
Well, this might be the best team that Carolina's had to face the Seahawks. So that'll be a little bit more interesting. Before, you always got the sense that they were undermatched.
Yeah.
You know, the game was going to be too big for Carolina.
Yeah. I think the Seahawks are a better team than they were when they faced them earlier in the year as well. And that's why it makes it an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
Because, look, I mean, I've been discounting Carolina all year, and I'm going to continue to right now. I still think they're the worst undefeated team in the history of the league out of all like three of them. But
even so, they're still the best team in the league right now.
They're the third best undefeated team, Adam.
Third, there you go. Yeah, so that's still something.
That makes it sound so much nicer.
They're a top five undefeated team of all time.
Yeah, I guess.
They're top five.
I guess. I don't buy that they're the best team in the league, though. I think there's better teams out there at this point.
I don't. They've proven it all year.
If they went on the road in New England earlier this year, I think they would have lost.
Yep. New England with their weapons? You bet.
Ifs and ands. We could do that all freaking day. It's not fun. It's not interesting.
No, I don't know. I mean, you just declared that they were the best team, and I just said that I didn't think so. So it's not if and ands. It's just I just disagree. Is that okay?
No, because you're wrong.
Oh.
That's why.
Oh, well, shame
no
on me.
No opposing viewpoints when it comes to
yeah,
Jared.
Yeah, shame on me. Shame on me for having my own right viewpoint. So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting point to bring up, Jared. I don't know. Anything from you, Brandon? I mean, Jared and I brought stuff to the table.
Yeah, what'd you bring? Yeah.
What, you stole my playoff thing that I brought up in the Seahawkers podcast and consider that as bringing it to the table?
Well, here's how it went, Brandon. I said, does anybody have anything interesting to say? And you know what you did?
Sat there.
You didn't say anything.
You didn't have anything
so
interesting to say.
We already talked about it. I didn't think we needed to go over it again.
Well, we needed to bring Jared's opinion in on this.
Yeah, and he didn't even know about
it. His mind's the one that matters.
Well, just another perspective from, you know, the outside or whatever.
Someone who's not totally biased. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm glad we got Jared's 10-second opinion on, you know, or having 10 seconds worth of knowledge on the subject before he got his opinion.
Sometimes that's all you need.
It's 10 more than you had before.
Sometimes you go out on a first date, you sit down with that chick, and within 10 seconds, you know everything you need to know. She's crazy, and you got to run as fast as possible. Sometimes that happens.
She might be for Jared.
Nope.
Might be Jared's kind of gal.
I like sane ones.
I don't know. It depends. Depends on how old they are, probably.
Come on now. Come on. We don't need to get personal.
I didn't
say on which side of the age scale that was, Jared.
He's trying to get himself. He's a gold digger. He's been after these gilfs. Grandma's he'd like to
catfish.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah. He's into it.
Well, with that being said, I think there's only one thing left to say.
Go Gilfs.
This went off the rails, guys.
Yeah, it did. And that's why it's fun. All right, guys. That there is only two things left to say, and that is hooray football.
Hooray football.
And
hooray beer.
Go Hawks.
Rock on.
Go Hawks.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.